going to continue our series of studies on the authority of the King James Bible. Today's study is entitled, What Have They Done With My Lord? What Have They Done With My Lord? In the Gospel of John in chapter 20 and verse 13, we read in the Word of God, And they said unto her, A woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The modern versions say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Of Christ is removed in the modern versions. If someone blamed Christ as being a sinner, then whose side do you think they would be on? If someone took away Paul's salvation, then whose side do you think they would be on? If someone took away the salvation of the dying thief on the cross, whose side do you think they are on? If someone took away the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch, whose side do you think they were on? Why would someone want to take away the title of Christ unless they are the counterfeit we are told in, or we are told of in, first of all, in 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God tells us, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My dear friends listening today, all modern versions attack God. Looking at a comparison of modern versions, we will notice that there is more to the changes than just a few words. They indeed attack Jesus Christ. Let's begin in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 4. We read in the Word of God in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In the New International Version, Luke chapter 4, verse 4 reads as this, Jesus answered, It is written, man does not live on bread alone. Notice, what happened to but by every word of God? Don't you want an every word Bible? I know that I do. I've been asked many times, why would I not sell any Bible other than a King James? My reply is, don't you want an every word Bible? The New International Version costs more, and you get less for your money. Let's look at another example here. In the King James Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Word of God says, Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now notice with me how it reads in the NIV. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the NIV. It reads as this, Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. My dear friends, what happened to study? As we discussed, someone does not want you, does not want me to study the Word of God. It takes more to study than just to read. Why and when should you study to learn? Or when you should study to learn? The only time study appears, you see, when you study the Word of God, you learn. You take it in, you meditate on it. The only time study appears in the Bible, it is removed. By who? I believe it's Satan in his modern Bible versions, amen? Why? Why would he want the word study removed? If you study, then you will know that you do not need the so-called scholars, amen? Why would he want it removed? Why would the devil want the word study removed? If you study, then you will realize that the so-called modern Bibles are no more the Word of God than Arafat is a friend to the nation of Israel. Amen? If you study, then you will realize the effect of removing a small word has on the entire passage. If you study, you will notice entire passages are removed. If you study, you would realize the deity and person of the Lord Jesus Christ is under attack. All modern translations do the same thing. They take the side of Satan, number one. They take a stance against Jesus Christ, number two. They take a stance against people getting saved in the Bible, number three, and number four. Plus, they attempt to destroy many great, yes, many great doctrinal passages. Now, let's look, for example, how these modern versions make the Lord Satan. First, I'm going to read from the King James Bible. And the passage I'm going to read is in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. We begin. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And of course, we know Lucifer is the name of Satan before he fell. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Yet, in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then in verse 15 of Isaiah 14, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And notice with me in the King James Bible, Revelations chapter 22 and verse 16, we read, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now notice with me now. In the New International Version, the NIV, how the Word of God is changed around. In the same passage that we read in the King James Bible, in the NIV, it makes the Lord Satan. Notice with me as I read from the NIV, in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, and then again in Revelations 22, 16. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. We just saw that morning star in Revelations 22:16 is a reference to Jesus. Here in Isaiah, in the NIV is making a reference to Jesus. Satan is making the Lord Satan. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the uttermost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you were brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Now in the NIV, in Revelations 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Notice what they've done. They have eliminated in the NIV Lucifer in his fall and charged it to our Savior. They have replaced Lucifer, Satan's name prior to his fall, with morning star, and used the cross reference in Revelations 22:16. And this is a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you did something wrong and you did not want anyone to find out about it, what would you do? Well, you'd probably wipe out any record of your deed and blame it on someone else. We see this all the time in the newspapers, do we not? Cover-ups, false accusations, etc., etc. This is exactly what Lucifer has done. He has used the so-called new Bibles to eliminate his sin. This took place before the fall of man. Not only has he covered up his sin, but also blamed it on Christ. Do you see, my dear friends, what they have done? They made our sinless Savior have sin. There is a difference. It's not a matter of a few verses. It's a matter of saying our God has sinned. And if you were with me long enough, you will know, if you haven't by now, that I am against anything that goes against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am against all those so-called new versions. They are anti-God. These new versions are not for our Savior. And we must warn those that use them. What have they done with my Lord? Is the title of our lesson as we have a series of lessons on our series entitled The Authority of the King James Bible. Let me give you another example here. What the NIV does, making the Lord a sinner. First, I'm going to read to you two places in the King James Bible. First, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 22, in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Now, if you're a serious student of the Word of God, what I would suggest to you is to buy one of these Bibles that has the King James Bible in it and the NIV and some of the other ones so that you can compare and see how they mess with God's words. Amen? Look with me. Matthew, first in Matthew 5, verse 22, and then we'll look at Mark chapter 3, verse 5, first in the King James Bible. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Note the phrase, without a cause. Thus, if you are angry with a cause, it is not a sin. We're going to see in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, Christ was angry and had a cause. Thus, it is not sin. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5 in the King James Bible. The Word of God says, And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now notice what it says in the NIV. The New International Version, or the non-inspired version. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Reka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now the NIV in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. What I want you to note here is without a cause is removed from Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 in the NIV. Thus Jesus Christ is charged with sin. Who would want to charge Jesus Christ with sin? Certainly not God the Father. If you take away the sinlessness of Jesus Christ, you take away the atonement for sin on Calvary. Amen. Let's continue in our study as we look at the salvation of Paul, or his Saul, before he was saved, removed. Let's look first in the King James Bible in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, in verses 5 and 6. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Note what Paul states in verse 6. I do not believe Paul got saved until verse 6. In verse 5, he is asking as someone that just got knocked down and out of the fight. Then he realizes who he is fighting and notice the humble spirit and change of heart that he has in verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That's evidence of a converted heart. Amen. Notice now with me, in the new versions, this is taken out. I want to read to you out of the NIV again, in Acts chapter 9 and verses 5 and 6. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Verse 6, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Notice how the reference to the Lord and the attitude of Paul is removed. They remove Paul's salvation. I wonder why. Notice how much of the text is removed. Who would want the salvation of Paul removed? Certainly not God the Father, amen. Let's continue on here as we look at the salvation of the dying thief, how it's removed in the NIV. First, I'm going to read to you in Luke chapter 23 and verse 42 out of the King James Bible. And he said unto Jesus, this is a dying thief on the cross, one of the dying thieves on the cross that was crucified with Christ. We know that he was put in the midst with one malefactor on one side and one on the other. And in Luke 23 and verse 42, in the King James Bible, we read, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Notice what it says in the NIV. In Luke 23, 42. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What I want you to notice is how Lord is removed from the NIV. There are many men that are called Jesus. If you were to go to Mexico, you would find many that go by that name. However, Lord is the title of deity. According to the NIV, the dying thief called upon a man named Jesus, and did not get saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The NIV removes the word Lord over 350 times. They remove God over 400 times. Hell is removed. Heaven is removed 160 times. Again, who would want these removed? Certainly not God the Father, that's for sure. It's got to be the devil himself. Let's look at another example. How salvation is taken away from someone in the NIV. We're going to see how salvation by faith is removed. We're going to look at the case of the Ethiopian eunuch. And I'm going to read first to you out of the King James Bible, Acts chapter 8. Verses 35 to 39. I want you to pay close attention as I read, and you can read along in your King James Bible. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Now notice with me. We see here then, as we read the passage, that before the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, Philip checked with him first and asked him first if he believed in his heart. In other words, he believed that Christ died for his sins, was buried, rose again the third day. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he was saved. He was saved by faith. Faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, plus or minus nothing else. And then he was baptized as a testimony to his belief in Jesus Christ, that he was a saved sinner, saved by grace through faith. Now what's interesting is, in the NIV, they remove verse 37 altogether. So in other words, by removing verse 37, we read in verse 36, the eunuch says to Philip, they've come upon water, and he asks, what hinders me from being baptized? Now, if you remove 37, which the verse 37, which the NIV does, your next verse is 38, and it shows the chariot standing still and them going down and Philip baptizing the eunuch. And what does the NIV do? Well, by removing verse 37, the reason they removed verse 37 is to teach a false doctrine of baptismal regeneration. In other words, that it's the water baptism that saves an individual, not Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ, but being baptized in the water. And the way they get away with removing these verses is to put the text in a paragraph form. And you cannot notice when an entire verse is missing. So what they do, in essence, is they take away the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. Teaching water, doctrine of baptism and regeneration. If that Ethiopian eunuch was trusting in his water baptism to save him, he's burning in hell right now. But thank God we know the Word of God tells us that he was saved, that he believed in his heart that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So he believed on Christ first and then was baptized as an act of obedience, as an act of testimony of his placing his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see then the NIV takes away the salvation of the Apostle Paul. It takes away the salvation of the dying thief on the cross, and it takes away the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, who would want to do that? God the Father certainly wouldn't. It's got to be the devil. Amen. It's got to be the devil. There are many there out there that are trusting in water baptism to save you. Let me tell you, friends, all it does, water baptism does nothing but get you wet. Amen. I was baptized after I was saved as a testimony, amen, that I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior outwardly, because no one can see what took place in my heart, amen. But, oh, there are many cults that are teaching it's water baptism that saves, amen. You know that great song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me? Some of them change into Amazing Splash, How Sweet the Sound, amen. That's what it does. The devil is behind each and every one of these cults. And they're taking a boatload of people. Millions of people each day die and go to hell because of false beliefs, because they're reading false Bibles, amen. Bibles that take away salvation, that removes salvation by faith. Amen. Three great examples. Paul, the dying thief, and the Ethiopian eunuch. Salvation by faith. Taken totally away. Taken away by the modern Bible versions. That's the devil's books. Those are the devil's Bibles. Amen. So we can see as we go through this study, and we're going to continue next week, and we're going to see some more things and how the modern versions attack the deity of Jesus Christ, attack God, and so many other very important doctrines of the Word of God. But my dear friends, we should be thankful to Almighty God that not only did he inspire his Word, his inerrant, his infallible, his indestructible Word, but he's also preserved it. His pure words, his inspired, his inerrant words, his infallible words in the AV 1611, commonly known as the King James Bible. And if you have a King James Bible in your hands, my dear friends, you can rest assured that you have the very words, W-O-R-D-S's, of God. Well, that's all the time that we have on the pastor's study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri, thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer, and good day.